Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Well, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about resurrection, Christ's resurrection, his resurrection power, and how important that is. I shared with you last week how I had talked with some young children once who thought that this season was all about Jesus' death. No, it's about his life. It's about his resurrection. And I think as Christians, it's important that we understand how vital resurrection power is to our daily lives and to our lives, our spiritual lives in Christ Jesus. Reminded of a story of a lady who broke down on her way to church. And so she couldn't get her car started. She called an Uber. The Uber came to get her, pick her up, to take her on to church. She was going to be a little late, but she was going to at least get there. And so about halfway through the drive, she taps the Uber driver on the shoulder to ask a question. Well, all of a sudden, the Uber driver just became hysterical, screamed out, and nearly crashed. He had to pull off to the side of the road, and they both had to compose themselves. And she finally said, "Why in the world did my tapping you on the shoulder cause you such alarm?" And he said, "I want you to understand, it wasn't the tap on the shoulder. It's the fact that the last 30 years I've been a hearse driver. And so I wasn't expecting a tap on the shoulder." Resurrection power. The beauty for Christians is just that. Death is no big deal. Death, where is your sting? Christ has secured your victory over death, hell, and the grave. And when you know him in the free pardon of sin, hey, death for our friends, it's just goodbye for a little while, because guess what? We're going to see them again in eternity. In fact, we're already a part of eternity right now, but this earthly existence that we're walking through, when we're done with this earthly existence, if we know Christ, then when we are no longer on this earthly plane, we're in God's presence. What a wonderful thought. We never truly die like we often think we do. We just go on to greater things that God has in store for us. I want you to understand, even with Christ's resurrection, the disciples really saw this as God's stamp of approval on everything that Jesus had been teaching and saying. It started when the Holy Spirit descended on Christ like a dove at his baptism. And God said, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That was sort of a stamp of approval for the disciples. That at least perked their ears and got their attention. But when Christ rose from death to die no more, the disciples, to me, in their heart, there was no doubt of who God was. Even those that may have still been struggling with who Jesus truly was, when he rose from death to die no more, I think it was in them. This is really real. He truly is the Messiah. And they were probably still having some issues sorting out what they thought Messiah was going to look like and what Messiah actually was. I think they were still probably looking for a military leader. And he wasn't that. He was a spiritual deliverer. But thankfully, they would catch that vision, and thankfully we catch that vision. Paul writes a little bit about Christ's resurrection. In fact, last week we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to go back there again this week, but with a different different verses. We'll be coming down a few verses to verse 20. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be reading verses 20 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 20, reading from the ESV, it reads like this. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, after destroying every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Let us pray together. Father, we come to you this morning in the strong name of Christ Jesus, our resurrected Savior and Lord, and we are grateful. Today, I pray that you add the blessing to the reading of your word. I pray that we take away new application from your word that we can apply to our spiritual lives, not just throughout this week, but in the days and months and years ahead. Father, I thank you so much that you hear us, and I thank you so much that you answer us, and I thank you so much for the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, that resurrection power makes us victorious in Christ Jesus. We are grateful, and we love you, and we praise you, and we pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. A couple of things jump out at me at the scripture that we read this morning. The first is this: resurrection power proves that the price for our sin is fully paid. You never have to worry if you've been totally forgiven. If you've asked Christ to forgive you, then he is faithful and just to do just that. So if you sincerely ask, he will sincerely save you. Look with me again at verses 20 through 23. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. I want you to understand, first fruits was sort of an Old Testament concept, but pious Jewish people would bring their first fruit. This was the season's first crops. They would bring their first fruits in to God as an offering. So Jesus has become something of an offering unto God. He's become a first fruit. Those who have risen from death to die no more, he is the first to do that, and because of his offering, we also will be able one day to do that. I want you to understand that Jesus said of himself that he is the resurrection. We find that in John 11:25, that he is the resurrection. So don't think of the resurrection as an event. Understand that the resurrection is something that Jesus himself embodies. Jesus had some temporal resurrections within his earthly ministry, but they were events. We find those, one in Matthew 9, Jesus raised a ruler's daughter. This was an event. Jesus raised a widow's son in Luke chapter 7. This is an event. And of course, we remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. These were all events. Why? Because all of these people, while Jesus gave them life a little longer, all these people would once again pass away. Jesus embodies resurrection because he rose from death to die no more. Understand, his resurrection is more than an event. This is something that he embodies. So when we trust in Christ and the free pardon of sin, then guess what? You don't have to worry about death. You have his assurance that you will be raised to life anew. In fact, Romans 8:11, one of my favorite verses, reads like this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's a promise to every believer, every blood-bought child of God in this room today. Because of Christ's resurrection power, you are victorious. Death, the grave, hell no longer have power over you. Death, where is your sting? Thank God for that. Thank God for his resurrection power. The second thing I want you to understand is this. Resurrection power proves that Jesus' teaching is trustworthy. Resurrection power proves that Jesus' teaching is trustworthy. Jesus said he was the resurrection, John 11:25, but he also said he was the life. Zoe, the life, the life, the life, that phrase in the Greek means the absolute fullness of life, both integral and righteousness, both of which belong to God, and through him, both the hypostatical logos or word and to Christ in whom the logos or the word became and or put on flesh. Which means that every word Jesus spoke, all of his teaching throughout his earthly ministry, because of resurrection power, you can put trust in that word. That's good news for us today. Paul even builds on this thought in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. He says, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but Jesus is the cornerstone. And we understand that a cornerstone in any building, that's the fundamental part of that building. So in Jesus Christ, we need to be sure that our life aligns fully with his teaching, with what he taught, with his words, because he is the cornerstone of our church. He is the cornerstone of our faith. His resurrection power proves that his teaching is trustworthy. Third and final thing that I want to take away from the scripture this morning is this. The resurrection of Jesus is proof that he is who he claims to be. That Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. Look with me again at our main text, verses 24 through the end, 28. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God hath put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. You know, Paul said in Philippians 2, 6 through 11, that Jesus didn't think it was robbery to compare himself or to be equal with God. Jesus said that he was the Word made flesh. He said, if you've seen God, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you believe in God, believe also in me. He was saying that he and the Father are one. Understand that. And because of Jesus' resurrection power, the fact that he rose from death to die no more means that who he said he was truly is. This was definitely a stamp of approval for the disciples. And it should be a stamp of approval for us as well. And like we talked about last time, even outside of Scripture, there are secular sources that agree with the fact that Jesus rose from death to die no more. His resurrection isn't just something that was made up. It wasn't just some fanciful narrative from antiquity. It's reality. It's truth. And for those of us who have been blood-bought by Christ Jesus, we understand what resurrection power is. Take someone who has been in bondage to drugs or to alcohol or to some sort of sexual sin or any kind of sin, and they meet Christ and he restores them and they're raised to life anew. They will tell you the truth of resurrection power. And I pray that each and every one of us in this room today understand that resurrection power and understand what a price Christ paid for each and every one of us. But that the good news is we are more than victorious because of what Christ has done for us and because of his resurrection power. In fact, Paul writes in Romans 8:37 that you are more than conquerors in Christ. And I've told you once, I'm sure I'll tell you again. In the New Testament, that's a compound Greek word, more than conquerors. It's super nikomen in the Greek, and it means super victorious, over and above conquerors. What it means is Christ has done the fighting for you. He's defeated the enemy for you. And you, like a warrior, get to come in and put your foot on a defeated enemy's head. That's the truth about you if you are in Christ Jesus. That's good news, but that's made available to us because of Christ's resurrection power. So I encourage you in your devotion time this week, reflect on this chapter, chapter 15. Reread it. Take it to heart. Pull out other scriptures that you feel would go with it. But remember these things in closing. Resurrection power proves that the price for our sin is fully paid. You never have to worry. You have been paid for in full. And nothing can take you out of the love of God when you're in Christ Jesus. Resurrection power proves that Jesus' teachings are trustworthy. And resurrection power, the resurrection of Jesus is proof that he is who he claims to be.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.